You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Four and seven. I would say happy Sunday, but odds are if you're a listener to this podcast, it's probably not the happiest of Sundays, at least with how it starts. We'll see how it finishes in just a few hours. With that, welcome to another episode and a new week of Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Sunday morning, the Rockets are losers once again, falling 96-89 to the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio on Saturday evening. That drops the Rockets' record to 4-7 on the year. They were at one point 3-0 on this season-long five-game road trip, finished at 3-2, which at face value doesn't feel all that bad, but when you consider that you lost to both of the Western Conference teams you faced and the fact that the offense continues to be lifeless, the defense has turned it around four consecutive games now that the Rockets have held opponents below 100 points, but it's also four consecutive games in which the Rockets have scored below 100 points and two consecutive games in which they haven't even reached 90. The Rockets were led by James Harden, who had 25 points and 6 rebounds, just 3 assists, but Harden shot just 7 of 27 from the field, 1 of 13 from 3, and in the four games since he has returned from a grade 1 plus hamstring strain, the Rockets are averaging just above 90 points per game, which in today's NBA, which with scoring up all around the league, is just nowhere close to good enough. And for the entirety of the road trip, I mentioned 3-2 overall, but they lost the last two, and what's most troubling about it, they continue to lose to Western Conference teams, the first three games all out east. Now the Rockets are 1-7 in the Western Conference as far as tiebreakers go, especially considering many of these games are to teams like the Spurs that are likely to be competing for playoff positioning just like the Rockets. Well, starting 1-7 in the conference is not good on a number of levels. The Rockets are searching for options, including both local and national reports that they are weighing the role with Carmelo Anthony. More on that momentarily as we make our way through our usual 3 points recap. But for now, I'm not going to start with Carmelo Anthony or any other role player because the issue for the Rockets right now is far and away the star players, because unless they can get those guys fixed, nothing else is going to matter, in my opinion, in terms of the composition of the role players on this roster. And that's what's holding the Rockets back. It's been the story all year, and it was yet again the story in San Antonio on Saturday evening when James Harden and Chris Paul combined were 11 of 40 from the field. They did get Eric Gordon back, and he scored 23 points off the bench after missing three games with a sore leg, I believe a groin muscle. He looked a lot more springy than he had all season long, had a poster dunk, had 23 points off the bench in 30 minutes, but he was 3 of 14 from behind the arc, many of them wide open, and now Gordon for the season, just 23% from 3. Mentioned CP3 and James Harden, a combined 11 of 40. Chris Paul in his last four games, we know he was a standout in Brooklyn when he had 32 and 11. Since then, he has shot 36% or worse from the field in all four games. Not from 3, from the field. For the season now, he's right at about 38% overall, below 30% from 3. Just simply not good enough. Now, as mentioned, Eric Gordon was a lot better in terms of his six-man role, bringing energy and creating off the bench, and that helps. But in terms of playing, especially late in games, alongside James Harden and Chris Paul, his role is to hit open threes. He's not spacing the floor when he shoots 23%. And James Harden, 7 of 27 from the field, just 1 of 13 behind the arc, also missed 3 free throws. The Rockets collectively as a team, 22% from 3 on Saturday night, 69% from the free throw line. Neither of those anywhere close to good enough. That starts with your star players. And it's not just that they're missing threes, by the way. They're also missing layups. Harden at the rim this year is 30 of 62. That's below 50%. This is a guy who was well over 60% a year ago, and when he is at his peak, is a driving machine in terms of how he finishes in traffic. Maybe the hamstring strain has something to do with it, but whatever the reason, the Rockets have to get it figured out, because if they can't make layups and they can't make threes and it starts with the star players, it doesn't really matter what the composition of the role players is. Clint Capella on Saturday night did have 12 points, 17 rebounds, 2 blocks. He did largely feast against the Spurs front line that is not as athletic, had 8 offensive rebounds, so he kept possessions alive on a lot of those misses. But look, at the end of the day, the Rockets are going to go as far as their playmakers can take them. And right now, none of them is playing at anywhere near the level that they were a year ago or that they were expected to play at this year. And that's why it's so silly to me to see some of the takes out there either ruining the losses of Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, Ryan Anderson, those types from a year ago, or the additions, new pieces like Carmelo Anthony. Yes, we'll get to him in just a few moments. James Ennis, Michael Carter-Williams, although he didn't play Saturday night. I'm not going to say that there's no chemistry component to it. Of course there is. But at some point, these guys just need to play better. Look, James Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, those are two guys that are supposed to be top 10 in the league. With James Harden, you're talking about the reigning MVP. Eric Gordon, a guy who was clearly top 50, a fringe all-star at times last year. Between the three of them, they are making $80 million. Starting a couple of years from now, Chris Paul and James Harden will be making $80 million just by themselves. And if the Rockets re-sign Eric Gordon after 2020, you'll probably be at close to $100 million a year just between those three players. They are why you are capped out for the foreseeable future. They are why you are locked into this roster, that it's not easy to go out and make external additions. They have got to do their part. And whether the role players are Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, and Ryan Anderson, or whether they're James Ennis, Carmelo Anthony, Michael Carter-Williams, whoever it may be, their job responsibilities don't shift. They have to be able to make open shots. And quite frankly, I think it's just excuse-making to throw chemistry and factors like that out there when they're missing open threes and they're missing layups. These are fundamental things that they need to be able to do, whether they're alone in a gym or if they're on a basketball floor in the NBA with 18,000 spectators. Whatever it may be, these are basic fundamentals, and I don't buy giving them an excuse because of some chemistry thing that maybe we're not aware of or integrating new pieces. Bull. They are paid very, very high salaries, not just in terms of dollars, but proportion of the salary cap. It's incredibly high, and they need to be held to a standard. Right now, they are not doing their jobs. And to think that, well, maybe you could overcome that if the role player composition was a little bit different, that's silly. If the Rockets can't fix Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, if these problems, for whatever reason, are terminal, which I don't really buy into, but ultimately, there's nothing the Rockets can do about that in terms of chipping away at the margins at the role players. No matter who is here, if those three guys aren't going to execute at anywhere near the level they did a year ago, there's not much the Rockets can do about it. They've just got to be better. And when it comes, you've heard me say this before, fixing a problem starts with understanding it. Right now, the stars of this team are being inexplicably below their standard. That's where this starts and ends. And no, I don't buy that, well, if you had Trevor Ariza or Ryan Anderson, then they understand spacing. They might be a step one direction or the other and help out the driving lanes a little bit. That is not an excuse to go from last year to this, where the Rockets collectively now, I mean, the numbers are staggering. They're 27th in offensive efficiency. They're 29th in scoring. They're 30th dead last in field goal percentage. The defense has actually gotten better. For all the talk about losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, that's on the defensive end of the floor. The Rockets, they're now 17th in the league defensively. They've held opponents below 100 points for four consecutive games. They're actually ahead of where they were this time a year ago in defensive efficiency. This time last year, they were 18th. So, no, I don't really buy that, well, you switch out a couple of largely defensive-minded role players, and then there's some sort of trickle-down effect to the stars and what they're giving you or not giving you offensively. That's excuse-making. That's ridiculous. These guys, and especially the stars like James Harden and Chris Paul, they are there because, quite frankly, no matter who the supporting cast is, there's a standard that they have set that you should be able to expect top-shelf performance from them. In my opinion, what really defines top 10 players in the NBA, you can put them almost regardless of circumstance onto almost any roster in the league, and they're probably going to win 45-plus and be in contention for the playoffs at a bare minimum. That's where these truly elite players, and I think back to, you know, James Harden's first year in Houston when there were almost no expectations, and before trading for Harden in late October, on the doorstep of the season, there was actually thought the Rockets were going to take a step back that year, finally, and play for a higher draft pick. And all of a sudden, that Rockets team won 45 and actually took a couple of games with the top-seeded Thunder in the playoffs. That's how good a true star player is. Chris Paul, with the LA Clippers, and we know what a laughingstock they have been historically. Before Chris Paul was traded to the Clippers, I believe in 2011, the entire franchise had had zero seasons of 600 or better winning percentages. The next 6 years, they went 6-for-6, all in a loaded Western Conference, won 60% of their games or more with Chris Paul. The role players shifted a lot in there. It's just Chris Paul by himself is that valuable. James Harden to the Rockets, except for that 2015-2016 year, they went 41-41 when everything went wrong. The year they fired Kevin McHale after, ironically, the same 4-7 start that they're in right now through 11 games. But other than that, Harden's presence has guaranteed the Rockets a foundation of 45, usually 50-plus wins. Are there improvements and declines that you can have within role players, within the supporting cast? Absolutely. But true stars, which James Harden and Chris Paul are, and that's what you are paying them to do, in a couple of years, going to be paying them $80-plus million per season, no matter what the supporting cast are, even just individually, those are generally enough for the team to be a winner over the 82-game grind. And now that you have both of those guys out there and presumably healthy, there's no excuses. They have to be better. Now, they said after the game, Chris Paul citing law of averages, and I'm sure there's some component to that. We're still in a fairly small sample. Now it's growing, 11 games out of 82. That's over 13%. But look, there have been some injuries. There have been some suspensions. And ultimately, if they keep pushing through it, yes, law of averages says they'll be fine. I hope they will. And personally, if I had to bet, the logic side of me says that at the end of the year, we'll be laughing about this stretch in which, for whatever reason, just everything went wrong. Law of averages does say that the Rockets, led by James Harden and Chris Paul, will eventually get this going. They are too good not to. But right now, when it comes to how you got to this 4-7 point that you are at right now, it starts and ends with the performance of these star players. If they aren't doing their jobs, it's kind of pointless to get all up in arms about anyone else further down the roster. You need more from James Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon. Right now, you're not getting it. And no, they don't get a pass based on some magic chemistry thing that we're not even really saying is an issue. Who knows what's going on as far as, unless you're inside the locker room, you don't know exactly what the dynamic is or isn't. And in terms of the role players, it's not like they haven't had any help at all. When we've certainly seen, especially when you want to go back to some of Chris Paul's Clipper teams, it's not like there were perfect supporting cast there either. Or with James Harden's early Rockets teams. At some point, it doesn't need to be about making excuses. Those guys just need to do what you are paying them to do. And yes, you're holding them to an unfair standard from the standpoint of how you measure Carmelo Anthony, James Ennis, whoever it may be. It's a loftier standard. It's not apples to apples when you look at what you're asking of James Harden and Chris Paul. But when you are paying guys that proportion of the salary cap, you do expect more from them. It may be unfair if you're looking at it apples to apples, but from reality, it's about numbers. It's about math. You are locked in. You are capped out for the foreseeable future because of your expectations from those stars. And if they aren't giving you better than that, there's not a whole lot of it else you can do in terms of chipping away at the margins to overcome that. Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, they just need to be better. And ultimately, that's far and away the story for the Rockets in Saturday night's 96-89 loss. And really, it's the story of the Rockets through this very underwhelming 11-game start this season. Now, while from a macro standpoint, as stated in our lead-off segment, James Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, their struggles are the story. On a micro level, the story this morning is Carmelo Anthony. I know the headlines that are out there on SportsCenter, on ESPN, in the Houston Chronicle, and I'm not meaning to ignore those. This is where we'll discuss them, but I didn't want to lead with that because to put the majority of what's wrong with the Houston Rockets right now on one role player, and a role player in Carmelo Anthony who didn't even play Saturday night, if you want to blame Carmelo Anthony somehow for the offensive struggles, which is silly. Well, he didn't even play Saturday, wasn't with the team out due to illness, and yet you still had the same results offensively as you had before. So it would be a misnomer to lead off talking about Carmelo Anthony in a game that they lost by 7 to fall to 4-7 on the year when he's nowhere near the reason for the depths that this team has fallen. That said, there are reports that the Rockets are considering their roster options with Carmelo Anthony, alluding to the fact that, well, they could cut him. And that's been reported nationally by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN and Shams Charania of The Athletic, and locally by Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle. They're saying that nothing has been determined. We'll see what happens. The Rockets do return to Toyota Center later today against the Pacers. I'm sure everyone, myself included, will be eagerly waiting to see if Carmelo is with the team. But ultimately, the Rockets are having conversations about his role. And if those don't resolve themselves in a positive fashion, then for a guy making the minimum, he could be cut. That's how it goes when you're a minimum salary player, and the same goes with Michael Carter Williams. There's not much in the way of roster security. If it's not working out, then the team is likely to cut you. That's just how it goes. And as far as Carmelo with the Rockets, it's hard to say what the expectation is moving forward, because ultimately, I think it comes down to what Carmelo's response is as an individual. As far as why the Rockets are having these talks with him, Gary Clark has played even better than expected. Saturday night, he was a plus 10 in his 24 minutes, 3 of 4 from the field, made 2 of his 3 from behind the arc, 8 points. He continues to play well. The Rockets have recovered defensively. They were, I believe, bottom 5 in the league about 4 games ago. Now they're 17th. We have mentioned that the last 4 games, they've held the opponent below 100 points in each of them. Gary Clark's defense has been a big part of that turnaround. And now that you have Eric Gordon back, all of a sudden, between Clark being out there about 25 minutes a game for his defense and Eric Gordon playing 30 minutes a game again, hopefully now that his leg is healthy, there aren't that many minutes to go around for Carmelo Anthony as a backup four. Now, maybe with Gerald Green leaving early with a sprained ankle Saturday night, maybe that changes the calculus a little bit. But generally speaking, there aren't as many minutes for Carmelo Anthony as there were before. James Ennis is now healthy again, and you're starting 3. And Carmelo, who started the year averaging close to 30 minutes per game, based largely on necessity with all the injuries, well, even though the Rockets aren't getting the results they expected when everyone's healthy, at the same time, they are close to full strength in terms of the health of their presumed roster, and that's going to eat into Carmelo's minutes relative to how he started. The other factor, I think, that shouldn't be overlooked is that the Rockets, starting 4-7, they're behind the 8 ball. They don't have time to tinker. If they were 7-4 or 8-3, you might could experiment with different configurations. At this point, with nearly 15% of your sample already gone, the Rockets, it's not going to be like last year in all likelihood where you're clearly a top 2 team in the West. At this point, you're going to have to grind. You're going to be fighting off this bad start all year long, even if you do turn it around. That's just the reality. And so because of that, it's not really a time for experimentation. And Mike D'Antoni, we've seen that when the chips are down, he tends to like these shorter rotations, 8 at the most, 9 guys. Well, right now, with the Rockets in a tough spot, he doesn't have the luxury of trying that many different combinations. He's got to go with who he trusts. And right now off the bench, that's about 30 minutes for Eric Gordon. It's 20 to 25 minutes for Gary Clark. It's about 10 to 12 for Isaiah Hartenstein, Marquise Chris, Nene, when he gets back, whoever your backup center is. And then the remaining 10 or 15 for whoever's the best matchup on a given night. Gerald Green, could be Carmelo Anthony. But ultimately, it's a far cry from what Carmelo Anthony did to start the year. And it's a far cry to what he's done over his first 15 years in the NBA, when he's undoubtedly been a Hall of Fame level player. I think both for the Rockets and Carmelo, there was never a long-term commitment. It was a one-year contract, but beyond the fact that it's a one-year contract, it's a one-year minimum contract, which means there's an easy exit strategy at any time. And for the Rockets, it's not just about what's better for their team. It's also about, you know, they're seen around the league as a very player-friendly organization. You want to be seen as an organization that players want to play for. Well, if Carmelo isn't happy in his role, rather than just kind of stash him at the end of the bench, then what's better for Carmelo, and probably what's better for the Rockets' perception around the league, is if they just let him go in search of what he wants. Now, I don't know that that's what Carmelo is going to choose to do, but I think that's what the Rockets are giving him the option to do now that the minutes with Eric Gordon's return and Gary Clark's continued solid play defensively are starting to dry up to where the Rockets can't guarantee Carmelo minutes every night. There might be the occasional did-not-play coach's decision. And the reason I mentioned the Rockets' 4-7 start and kind of being behind the 8 ball, limiting Mike D'Antoni's hand. A year ago, I've always referenced Carmelo Anthony as a Ryan Anderson replacement. And when you think back to Ryan Anderson's usage a year ago, yeah, when he was healthy in the regular season, he generally played. But when things got really meaningful in the playoffs, yeah, we did see his role dry up to where he often did not play at all in the Utah series and for most of the Golden State series. When the Rockets were desperate, they didn't have the luxury to see, well, is this a night that Ryan is hot, or is this a matchup that's advantageous to him? No, they couldn't, in a game that they desperately needed to win, take that leap of faith. They couldn't experiment. Mike D'Antoni had to go with guys he could trust. And with Carmelo Anthony, it's somewhat of a similar dynamic in that when you look at Carmelo's first 10 games, he shot 40% from the field, about 33% from three. It's not that he's overall been terrible. Now, he's been bad defensively, but that's to be expected. 34 years old, year 16, that is what it is. Though I do think there are ways you can mitigate the impacts of Carmelo's bad defense if you're pairing him with Gary Clark, if you're putting him up against opposing second teams instead of starters, and so on and so forth. Offensively, he's been very hit or miss. He's had three games of 20-plus points, four games of 17-plus points. He's had some games like in Brooklyn when he had 28 points. He was 9 of 12 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3. The next night in Chicago, 17, 8 of 14 from the field. He also had a couple of strong games against the Jazz and the Clippers, both big losses for the Rockets when he shot 9 of 17 from the field, 8 of 18 from the field, average 23 per game. So there have been games where he's been really good, but there have also been games where he's been dreadful. 3 of 10, 3 of 9, 1 of 11, which he was on Thursday at Oklahoma City, although apparently he was playing sick in that game. The issue for the Rockets is that if he gives you a clunker offensively, and then you combine that with him being a bad defensive player, which at year 16, age 34, there's just not a whole heck of a lot you can do about that, then at that point, he's not worth playing because he's a below-average player on both ends of the floor. And you don't know until the game starts if maybe this is a game where he's hot offensively or he's cold. But at some point, for the Rockets struggling the way they are, even wasting a few minutes to find out is something that they don't want to do. And that's why I keep going back to the playoff analogy with Ryan Anderson. It's not that there's no upside to Ryan Anderson. It's that the Rockets, based on the gravity of the situation, they couldn't wait to find out. And I think that's kind of the way they feel they are at. That's the position they're in right now at 4-7. They can't wait to find out in a given game. And the other thing that concerns me a little bit about Carmelo, now he has helped them win games. This three-game road trip, or this five-game road trip, the three-game winning streak to start the road trip, Carmelo Anthony played key roles in all three of those wins. He was big in Brooklyn and Chicago, combined 45 points on better than 50% shooting. He played 16 minutes in the second half against Indiana, had the big three to tie the game in the fourth quarter. So it's not that he hasn't contributed, but when he has been at his best, it's largely come against, you know, these are all Eastern Conference teams. In the case of the Nets and the Bulls, they're just not very good. When Carmelo has really struggled, it's come against the better teams. I'm thinking, you know, the Pelicans to start the year, Oklahoma City, to an extent the Clippers, teams that have a lot of length and athleticism, the types of teams you'll play in the playoffs. The Warriors certainly fit this criteria, and that's who's looming on Thursday for the Rockets. It's not that Carmelo hasn't helped you, but I do think there's some concern that the fact that he's disproportionately strong against weaker opponents and, by extension, disproportionately weak against good ones, to me, that's concerning, especially as the schedule gets tougher. And for a Rockets team searching for answers and now just 1-7 in the Western Conference, I don't know that they can just keep throwing him out there every single night and wait to find out if this rectifies itself or just use him as a part-time player depending on what the matchup is. Well, now they could do that, but it's a matter of whether Carmelo would be happy accepting that role. Ultimately, I hope he does, because I think we've seen enough that he could help the Rockets in certain matchups, especially over the 82-game grind. He has been useful in this start. Again, three of your four wins, which came to start this road trip, he played key roles. I hope he sticks around. And to be clear, the other side of it, I'm sure some will argue, look, you're struggling so much offensively, and Carmelo Anthony, even at 34 years old, is still good at putting the ball in the bucket. Why would you think about moving on from Carmelo Anthony when your offense is struggling the way it is? But I think the response to that is what we said in segment one. When James Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon are struggling the way they are, quite frankly, it doesn't matter what Carmelo Anthony does. If you don't fix those three guys, it's terminal. There's nothing you can do to overcome that problem. So Carmelo Anthony's offense, in the context of the current offensive struggles, really, it's so bad that that doesn't really matter. It's more the defensive end of the floor where Gary Clark has been an upgrade, where I think the Rockets, everything they do is banked on the idea of James Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon having some sort of regression or promotion to the mean in this case. And then when that happens, they feel like they'll have enough offense. And at that point, that's why they're thinking more defense with these positions at the end of the bench. Now, that's not to say Carmelo Anthony couldn't be useful the way Ryan Anderson was in certain matchups a year ago. I think the Rockets would love Carmelo in that role, and I do think he could be a help to the team. And I don't buy that behind the scenes he's been a distraction. Now, I'm not in the locker room every second, but I'm around the team a decent bit. From everything I have heard and seen with my own eyes, Carmelo Anthony has been a good teammate. This isn't about him making waves behind the scenes, any sort of distraction, anything like that. No, it's about the Rockets, in my opinion, trying to do a solid for a guy that they went into this knowing it was an experiment. He's a 34-year-old Hall of Famer. This is a pretty rare situation, a guy that really in this situation is a role player at this point in his career, but over the balance of his first 15 years has been a star player. And for the Rockets, a player-friendly organization, they're trying to give him the right to pick his future. If he's okay being a good soldier, trusting Mike D'Antoni to deploy him in the right situations, and if it's not right for him, if it's a tough matchup, as we mentioned, the Pelicans and the Thunders of the world, if he's okay trusting Mike D'Antoni, then yeah, I think the Rockets would love to have him at the end of that bench and deployed based on the appropriate situation. But if he thinks he still has a lot more to give than that, then ultimately he's not so important to the Rockets that they would keep an unhappy Melo at the end of the bench against his desires. Ultimately, I think it just comes down to what Carmelo Anthony wants to do. I hope he wants to stay because I do think he can contribute and has contributed to this team in certain circumstances. It's just a matter of whether he's willing to accept that role and put his 100% trust in Mike D'Antoni to understand what his game is, what his limitations are at 34 years old. I hope he stays because he's a good guy. I think he's been a good fit in the locker room. The team enjoys him. It's just a matter of what he wants to do. And I suppose within a few hours, we'll probably learn because I doubt the Rockets just leave this in flux for days. I think it just comes down to what Carmelo wants to do. And with the Rockets returning to Toyota Center today, maybe this is the point that we find out. Now, as we close out our 3 points recap, another reason that I think it's very important for the Rockets not to leave this Carmelo Anthony situation in flux for a few days is they need the roster spot. At this point, the Rockets have an open roster spot, but they like leaving that open until the trade deadline. It gives them flexibility in trades, buyouts, whatever it may be. Well, at this point, if it's not Carmelo Anthony, the Rockets need reinforcements. Eric Gordon tweaked an ankle on Saturday night. We'll see if he's ready to go, but I highly doubt within 24 hours if it was severe enough for Gerald not to return. We saw some frustration from him in the second half going to the locker room. Well, all of a sudden, the Rockets, the losses are mounting, and the rotation, especially if they don't trust Carmelo Anthony in all matchups, it's starting to get to where they need outside reinforcements. I asked Kelly Eco about this a little over 2 weeks ago when the Rockets were 1-3, and in the context, he threw out the names Nick Young and Anthony Morrow in his column for The Athletic. We know the Rockets in the offseason at least kicked the tires on Nick Young a little bit. Anthony Morrow been out of the league for a while, but has a strong track record in terms of shooting threes. Both would love to come to a team like the Rockets, and really there's lots of guys that fit that profile just sitting on the couch waiting for a call. And ultimately, at this point, the Rockets, they've got Carmelo Anthony on a minimum contract. They've also got Michael Carter-Williams on a minimum contract. Those are inherently movable. If you don't like what you're getting from those guys, and Michael Carter-Williams has been getting DNP CDs for a while now, you could move on and you can create another roster spot. And right now, the Rockets need it because their struggles, what's frustrating but also encouraging about them, they're the most fixable. They're getting better defensively, and they also have Jeff Bezdelic coming back. They are making strides in terms of improvements, the fundamentals of the game. That's where they're getting better. Where they're struggling is the easy stuff. I mentioned the layups, but it's also missing wide-open threes. Those are things, even if you don't have them internally, you can find them externally. And right now, I think the sense of urgency is there to bring in outside help, especially if Gerald Green is hurt. But quite frankly, even if he's not, you need a guy that can put it in the basket. And even if he's not necessarily that aware of the scheme, you can plug and play a Nick Young or an Anthony Morrow, whoever it may be, for 10 or 15 minutes a night in this system, and he can space the floor. And that's something the Rockets need right now. When I had Kelly on the show a couple of weeks ago, I asked him, what's the point that you would consider making a move for external help? He said 1-4, which the Rockets did fall to 1-4. They actually fell to 1-5. Well, now they're 4-7, which means they are, what, 2-4 since that point. Yeah, I would say that's a problem. This is the point in which there needs to be a sense of urgency. And in my opinion, that's kind of what's bringing this Carmelo Anthony situation to a head, is that the Rockets realize that they do need outside help, And maybe one way to get it, if Carmelo Anthony isn't buying in, is to force his situation to a head, have the tough conversations now, and figure out, Carmelo, are you in? If he is truly in and willing to accept that Ryan Anderson role, which means in some situations, like in the playoffs a year ago, not playing at all, then yeah, you can either use the open roster spot you have now, or you can let Michael Carter-Williams go. But if Carmelo is ultimately not going to accept that role, then you may as well figure it out now and then use his roster spot to bring in outside help. Because I do think, be it Nick Young, be it Anthony Morrow, the Rockets need help. They need a Band-Aid. They need someone who's just going to help them put the ball in the basket, especially if Gerald Green is out for any length of time. And I'd be very surprised if he's playing off an ankle sprain today. I think perhaps with the Jimmy Butler negotiations going on behind the scenes, maybe that had something to do with the Rockets' patience, thinking that maybe if you swing a Butler trade, you'll see what your roster looks like after that. But now that Butler's off the board, if you want more on that, check out Saturday's show, in which we went through the after effects for the Rockets of Jimmy Butler being traded from Minnesota to Philadelphia and now being off the market. Maybe to some degree the Rockets were stalling or slow playing based on that possibility. But now that there's no Jimmy Butler, now that you're 4-7, now that you have the injury to Gerald Green, there's no more luxury of waiting. The Rockets need help. My suspicion is that within the next couple of days, there will be an addition to this roster. It's just a matter of how they create that roster spot. Do they fill the existing one, which we know they like to leave open for emergencies, at least until the trade deadline? Do they fill it that way, or do they let Carmelo Anthony or Michael Carter-Williams go and keep the extra roster spot for emergencies, which in my opinion is preferred? I think we'll have to wait and see, but ultimately that, in my opinion, is part of why they're forcing the issue with Carmelo, is they need a roster spot, and they want to figure out, Carmelo, are you in? Hopefully he is. I think he can still contribute to this team, but if his heart isn't in it, if he wants to go somewhere where he'll be used differently, then I think the Rockets, out of respect, will let him go, and then they'll use that roster spot on someone else. Ultimately, I do think there are reinforcements coming, especially if Gerald Green is out for any length of time. It's just a matter of how they get that roster spot. And in my opinion, that's what we'll learn later today when we see Carmelo Anthony. Are you in or are you out? Anyway, until we get to that point, this is where we will leave off. The next thing that we will learn is when I get to Toyota Center and the team gets to Toyota Center this afternoon. So if you want more content before the next show, if you want real-time updates, the best place to get it, as I always say, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Those are the handles. Beyond Twitter, we've also got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All ways that you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, inquire about becoming a potential advertiser, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being. Don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, so on and so forth. Wherever you listen to your podcast, the odds are you can find us because we're part of a great network of local experts at the Lockdown Podcast Network covering the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and college sports. If you subscribe to us, that's how you'll get episodes right when they come out. You'll get alerts even before I post it on Twitter. And beyond just the benefit of being a subscriber, if you would also leave us a 5-star review by subscribing and leaving a 5-star review, that's how our numbers look attractive to potential advertisers, and we keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So for now, this is where we will leave off. Thanks as always for listening, and come back soon for our Sunday recap edition, where we break down what happens between the Rockets and Pacers on the floor at Toyota Center on Sunday evening, and also what happens off the floor when hopefully there's some resolution on what's going to happen with Carmelo Anthony's roster spot. Whatever the case, we'll be breaking it all down in just a few hours right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.